Chapter 12. The Great Pillar Cavern. Jarlaxle examined Entreri, then nodded approvingly at the disguise. "If you slip into the common tongue of the surface, do not grow anxious," he instructed both his companions. "You are of Bragandy Earth. As far as any we will see knows, it has been years since you have been down here in Aranil Korak."
"What?"
Entreri asked.
"Aranil Korak,"
Drizzt answered before Jarlaxle could. "The great pillar cavern that houses Menzo Berenzon." Jarlaxle and Entreri continued talking, but Drizzt receded as soon as the words had left his mouth. That word, Aranil Korak, echoed in his thoughts. It was a word he hadn't heard since childhood. He thought back to the day he'd cast Menzo Berenzon behind him, Guinevar beside him, to venture into the wilds of the Underdark. It occurred to him at that moment, for the first time in more than a century, the first time since he'd ventured to the surface, that perhaps his decision on that long-ago day had not been so wise. He could have remained in the city, could have lived as Zaknafane had lived. Perhaps his family would still be alive in that event, instead of this abomination that had been created of House Do'Urden for no better reason than to smear his name. Perhaps his father would not have been killed. And his poor sister Virna, too kind for the title of Priestess of Loth, would she have been spared? Drizzt himself had killed her, after all. Even his friends on the world above would have been better off, he realized to his horror. He had known this before, after the drow had come to Mithril Hall, after Wulfgar had fallen into the grasp of a Yoklu. On that occasion, Drizzt had returned to Menzo Berenzon to surrender himself rather than place his friends in worse jeopardy. Catti Bree had come for him, and their subsequent escape, Artemis and Treri beside them, had shown Drizzt the error of his ways. But he now realized his love for Catti Bree, his gratitude to her, had blinded him to the truth of it all. "What is it?" he heard Jarlaxle ask, drawing him from his thoughts. He looked at his companion, and at Entreri, too, who was staring at him. "For all these years I have thought myself brave," Drizzt admitted. "Now I see that I am a coward after all." Jarlaxle and Entreri exchanged glances, curious and concerned at that strange remark. "He's not looking forward to walking into Menzo Berenzon any more than I am," Entreri decided. When Jarlaxle nodded and turned a sympathetic eye, Drizzt let it go. Let them believe what they needed to believe, but it was not as they had assumed. He was not afraid to enter the city of his birth. He was ashamed that he had deserted it in the first place. "So let us be done with it, and quickly," Entreri remarked. Jarlaxle held up his hand, fiddled with his pouch, producing a small gemstone ring. He tossed it back and reached in, bringing forth another ring. When this one too seemed wrong, he tossed it back and shoved his arm into the pouch up to his elbow, even though the pouch seemed far too small to hold even his hand. This time he brought his hand forth with a pile of rings in his palm, and he sorted through them for a moment, then slid a gold band set with some light stone, perhaps a diamond, onto his finger. He paused a moment, placed his finger against his temple, and issued a command word. His great hat shifted, then seemed to rise a bit of its own accord. Jarlaxle solved the mystery for the other two by reaching up and pulling off the hat, letting a mop of white hair fall down over his shoulders. Thick and styled, one side was cut in layers, the other hanging over the shaved side of Jarlaxle's head. Jarlaxle slapped his hat against his thigh, and the magical thing seemed to fold in upon itself, becoming small enough for Jarlaxle to easily slide it into his pocket. "I'm sure we're better off in disguise," the mercenary explained with a wink. Or maybe it was a blink. His eye patch remained in place. He dropped the ring back into his pouch, replaced it with some other magical ring, and motioned for the others to follow. The trio met up with an agent of Matron Mother Xerath's in the next chamber, a broken cavern of slanted walls and natural chimneys. Nowhere was the ground even, a situation made worse by the blood and goo that covered the stones.
"You should have arrived sooner," remarked Palaemus, a young warrior of House Orlaren. "We could have used the extra swords." I am surprised to find you by the wanderways, Jarlaxle replied, referring to a group of tunnels leading off of the most remote eastern reaches of Menzo Baranzon.
The masterways are closed both magically and physically, Belainmus explained,
the masterways being the main routes in and out of Menzo Baranzon.
Only a fool would test the glyphs and wards the priestesses and wizards have placed in those corridors.
And no doubt they are tested daily, said Jarlaxle.
Constantly, Belainmus replied. The corridors are filled with the stench of demon corpses. War parties venture forth every hour to place new wards, but the foolish beasts keep coming, and so they die before they get near to Menzo Baranzon.
He looked around at the trio.
It is a testament to your skill and cunning that you even made it to this point. You will find your path easier now.
Somehow the three travelers doubted that. Belainmus nodded for them to follow and led them back to the main patrol group, explaining them as refugees from a separate failed patrol. Their timing had been perfect. The group was already on the way back to the city, and was only a few turns and chambers from the straight, well-defended passageway leading into Aranil Korak. The troop went through the checkpoints and newly constructed gates without incident, and was dismissed as soon as they entered the great cavern. They began dispersing just inside to the various ways of Menzo Baranzon. Jarlaxle paused there, holding his two companions back, and so Driz took a moment to reorient himself to the city. To the left of them, the Rothay cattle lowed and grazed on the small island in the midst of the lake named Donnegarten. Mushroom groves and fungi farms filled the area in front of them, with small cottages and large storehouses built low on the stones. The nearest of the houses of the city proper began several hundred feet down to the right, in the Brayrin, the slum region known as the Stench Streets. Farther along the cavern wall loomed the Claw Rift, Drizzt recalled, and beyond that the Masterways and then Tearbrash, the raised antechamber that held the Drow Academy. He looked directly across from the entryway, to the southwest and the structures of the greatest noble houses, on the higher plateau known as the Kellartzorl. The lights of the city captured his vision, the perpetual blue and purple and green fairy fire that artistically highlighted every stalactite and stalagmite, the beautiful decorations that made Menzo Baranzon so much more than Aranil Korak. He continued his scan, his eye roving to the north, caught and held by the glow of Narpendel, the great pillar that gave this cavern its name. By the height of the glow of that gigantic pillar, Drizzt had once set the regimen of his days. Narpendel was discipline within chaos, was the constant within the swirl, was the symbol of the hour, the day, the eternity of the drow.
We'll go to the Stench Streets, Jarlaxle said, when the three were isolated enough just inside the city gates.
I'll find my information there, he paused, his voice trailing off as he noted Drizzt. The ranger stood there transfixed, staring at the great column. But Drizzt's thoughts, revealed in his wistful and unresponsive gaze, were far, far away. Braylon had never imagined the possibility of such pain. The burn, unrelenting and so much worse than anything he had known, from the scourge of his matron mother or the hateful magic of some high priestess. He could not believe this. It would not relent. He was certain he would be driven completely insane by the sheer, brutal agony of it all. He watched helplessly, shackled and held above the floor by his bloody wrists, as his right leg bloated and swelled. Braylon could not imagine greater pain, but that didn't matter as the bones in his legs split in half, skin and muscles tearing. They would split again, so promised the chants of the Malarney priestesses dancing around him, their vile magic coagulating in Braylon's tormented form. One leg would become four, then the other would complete his arachnid lower torso. He should have passed out long before, but that too was part of the magic of the demon priestesses, keeping him alert to witness his brutal and agonizing transformation. Braylon screamed. Oh, how he screamed. He screamed until he could not draw enough breath to make any more noise. His head lolled from side to side, his arms twitched, but had little strength remaining to cause more than a ripple of movement from his trembling body. It doesn't get better, one of them or all of them said. Braylon was too far removed from reality to know which. In any case, the words reverberated in his thoughts, ominous portents as the pain continued on and on.
You will feel this for a century, another voice told him. Unrelenting, the curse of the Drider. Even in the midst of mind-swirling agony, Braylon understood that the vicious priestesses were enjoying this torture. But then it stopped. Though it took Braylon a long, long while to understand that it had. The sound of metal he heard above him was the key sliding into the shackles. He dropped hard to the floor, his leg exploding in a wave of new agony as it touched ground. Heal him, Braylon heard, distantly, and somehow he recognized that particular voice, the sharp intonations of Matron Mother Jindia Malarn. Soon after, the first wave of warm healing washed over him, and Braylon fell into a deep slumber. You are certain of this? Matron Mother Jindia asked Kiri Zorlaren. Jarlaxle here in the city? It was confirmed by my envoy, Kiri assured her. A Zorlaren who escorted Jarlaxle and two others in through the eastern gate, as Matron Mother Xerath had instructed. To Beanri's call? No, Kiri replied with confidence. The Matron Mother does not know of Jarlaxle's arrival. He is not here at her command. This is his own mission, to his own ends. And those are? I do not know. But it is surely of importance for Jarlaxle to venture here at this time through tunnels filled with demons. Matron Mother Darthir, Jindia said, nodding. Matron Mother Xerath does wish to make a play for House Doerden, said Kiri. If Jarlaxle seeks the Iblith Dalia, then Matron Mother Xerath would certainly welcome and facilitate the move. It would leave a void, one to be filled by a Zorlaren, no doubt. By High Priestess Kiri Zorlaren, who has not forgotten the ways of the Lady of Chaos, Kiri smiled. I do not think Matron Mother Xerath will be happy with the fruition of her plans, the Matron Mother of House Malarn remarked. She does not understand her eldest daughter. She will not come near to Menzo Baranzon to discover the truth. Matron Mother Jindia shook her head at that. Once House Doerden is secure, Matron Mother Xerath cannot be allowed to live. She will not accept the truth of House Doerden when you reveal the new ways of Zorlaren. She will connive with the Matron Mother to be rid of you. Jarlaxle will lead us back to her, perhaps. Jarlaxle will be dead, Matron Mother Jindia assured her. But there are others of Bregendierth who will be useful to us. But first, we have much to do. This is too much supposition. We do not truly know Jarlaxle's plans here in the city. I will see what I can learn. Matron Mother Jindia shook her head. Just lead me to him. I have a way. Kiri looked to the door to her right in the small chamber, the antechamber to the torture room where Braylon Jankay recovered from the brutality of his trials. We stopped it in time to use him, Matron Mother Jindia assured her. Jarlaxle's players are fiercely loyal, Kiri warned her. There is no loyalty in the face of the punishment the rogue Braylon knows will be returned upon him if he disappoints me. That punishment will be returned upon him even if he does not. Of course, but he does not know that, and with the memories of the transformation so fresh in his thoughts, he will not allow himself to believe that.
The demon showed him Catti Bree, his wife, and let him live with their children, and all was well, and all was grand. And the beast Ertu ate them, chewed them, tore them apart, before Wulfgar's eyes, shattering his mind. The brutal conjuring of that image jolted Drizzt from his slumber at the table in the nondescript common room in the ramshackle building in the stench streets. He opened his eyes to find Jarlaxle and Entreri staring at him incredulously. We are at the most dangerous point of our journey, and you think it time for a nap? Entreri asked angrily. Jarlaxle tried to calm Entreri with a patting hand while he looked at Drizzt carefully.
Are you all right, my friend? He asked.
Is anything all right? Drizzt replied. Ever? Jarlaxle and Entreri exchanged yet another concerned glance.
He sounds like me, Entreri snorted. And he considers me the dour one.
Jarlaxle shook his head, dismissing the superfluous conversation.
Drizzt, he said earnestly,
We are almost there. Our goal is in sight on the western wall.
Drizzt stared at him and couldn't be bothered with even a nod of agreement. He understood his role here, and though he now doubted the value of it, he would gladly fight, more gladly than ever, against anyone who got in his way. Simply because he wanted to kill something.
For Dalia, Jarlaxle said.
And Drizzt wondered if it really even was Dalia seated as matron mother of House Doerden. How deep, how complete might the deception go?
There's your friend, and Treri interrupted, and he led Jarlaxle's gaze to the entry area of the common room, and to Braylon Jankay, who came limping toward them, heavily favoring his right leg.
He glanced around as he neared the table, then sat opposite Drizzt to Jarlaxle's left. He stared at Jarlaxle only briefly, then leaned to the edge of the table, his hands beneath. He started signing, but stopped and cautiously glanced around once more. Then his fingers began their dance, the chatter of the drow. And the words he formed told Jarlaxle that all was well, and that the way was clear to House Doerden. He explained that Dalia was seated as expected, paralyzed by her jumbled thoughts in the audience chamber. No one knew of Jarlaxle's entrance into the city, so said Braylon's waggling fingers, and no other house was moving against Doerden. All was as it should be, as they had hoped it would be, and this was the perfect time to execute their devious plan. Braylon glanced around again and struggled to stand. All three noted it and glanced at his leg.
Injured in a patrol, Braylon replied to Jarlaxle's concerned look. It is well on the mend.
When he was gone, Jarlaxle looked to the others and nodded. At the same moment in House Beenry's room of divination, the daughter of Gromf Beenry considered the image in the stoop water and laughed heartily. She grasped Kjorl's hands tightly and forced herself more deeply into the powerful psionicist's mind. This cistern was serving her well. At the same moment, Matron Mother Jyndia Malarn told Kirizor Lauren, "Prepare now for the defense of House Doerden."
"You will help?"
"There are only three," Jyndia replied, but with a sly tone that didn't offer any definitive answer to the question.
"Then let us kill them where they sit and be done with it," Kiri replied.
Catching Jarlaxle of Bregendy Aerith as he tries to rescue the damned matron Mother Darthir will greatly shake dear Quenthel's confidence and position, Matron Mother Jyndia said. And so too will this moment of Jarlaxle's treachery offer us the opportunity to be done with House Doerden, Jyndia went on. The news of Bregendy Aerith conspiring overtly against House Beenry will embolden Matron Mother Mesbaris Armgo to take the steps at long last to put House Beenry back into its proper place and destroy the tyrannical and wrong-headed rule of Matron Mother Quenthel. She cast a knowing glance at Ealstroth, the Malarney house wizard who had facilitated the clairvoyance and clairaudience spells so they could witness Braylon's deception. Then she added, "Particularly so when Jarlaxle's companion is revealed." She turned back to Kiri, who was staring at her with confusion and intrigue.
"You did not notice?"
Jyndia asked. Kiri shook her head ever so slightly.
"The one across from Braylon," Jyndia explained. "The one with the purple eyes."
Kiri Zorlaren lost her breath and rocked as she stood there.
"Drizzt Doerden," she mouthed. "In Menzo Berenzon," a grinning Jyndia replied. "On his way to House Doerden, where we will indeed send assistance to you to ensure his capture."
Kiri's heart was beating so furiously she feared she might faint and fall to the floor.
"Of course we will help. Oh, more than help," Matron Mother Jyndia said.
She turned to her wizard.
"Alert Shakti Hunsrin. Tell her that the time is upon us."
Then to her daughter.
"First Priestess Kirnil, prepare the war room."
"So quickly," an overwhelmed Kiri remarked.
"We are prepared," Jyndia replied.
Her smile was awful at that moment, but she added a bit of warmth to it as she promised the future matron mother of House Doerden.
"I will arrange for you to be at council when I present Drizzt Doerden to the ruling matron mothers.
You will be there when I throw him at the feet of Matron Mother Quenthal and name him as the murderer of Matron Mother Darthir. When I declare that the great Lady Loth used this traitor Driz to her own advantage as assassin of the abomination Quenthal foolishly seated on the ruling council. Then, my dear High Priestess Kiri, Menzo Berenzon will know true chaos and upheaval as is demanded, the zealous Matron Mother Jindia Malarn explained, savoring every last word. And House Toerden will be mine, and a new alliance will bring Beenri to its knees, Kiri finished.